Welcome to The Check-In on KBIA, where we're getting together every weekday for community connection and conversation over the airwaves. Thank you for checking in today. So when it comes to healthcare right now, there's one conversation, it seems like, going on. Coronavirus, how it works, how to stay safe. But for many of us, there are many other health issues we need to address to maintain our health. And in some cases, they are urgent. During this time of coronavirus, how are you taking care of everything else? Are you planning a childbirth? Are you getting your infants immunizations during their first year? What about the health checks, the dermatology procedures, the chiropractic adjustments, addiction counseling, chemo, other urgent treatments that you are needing to stay healthy and maybe not getting or maybe getting differently right now? Today, we're talking about everything else in our healthcare and also COVID-19 and how it's affecting everything else in our healthcare. Our guest is physician Dr. Michael Lefevre. He's the interim chair of MU's Department of Family Medicine and a longtime physician himself. He's not only an MD, but he researches best practices in family medicine and public health. So he's great to talk to. He's going to be with us during the next half hour, and you can join us. Are you planning a childbirth? Have you welcomed a new life into the world during these times? Have you put a checkup with a specialist that used to be a big priority on hold right now? Are you delaying important treatments? Have you Zoomed with your doctor? And how did that go? Let us know how everything else is going for you. And before we speak with Dr. Lefevre today, we're going to check in with Verna LaBoy. Ms. LaBoy is a health educator with the Columbia Boone County Health Department. In her work, she addresses disparities in health. And one thing she does, among many, is work with interfaith leaders, African American churches, to set up health programs together throughout the county. Ms. Verna LaBoy, thank you for being here today.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Verna. How are you doing?
Well, I'm so discombobulated. I love my job and the work I do at the health department. And actually, a couple of days ago, I celebrated 4 years with the health department doing this work in our community addressing.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. I love this job, addressing health disparities in the African-American community, hypertension and diabetes through evidence-based programming in their places of worship. So all of our intervention programs were in person, in their places of worship. So this is really... this is overwhelming, to say the least.
Is it?
For all of us.
Well, tell us more about that. Yeah, what's your day-to-day like, and what has all of this been like for you, and what are you hearing from the faith communities that you work with?
Well, what we've done is everyone is sheltered at home, which makes it challenging because we're dealing with a population, working with a population that has barriers as it is, dealing with the social determinants of health, and now we're piling on technology, and a lot of them just don't have all the bells and whistles to connect in a digital format or the knowledge base in order to do it. That's like me telling my 80-year-old mom, okay, Mom, I need you to download the Zoom app, and we're going to have a meeting at noon. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what is that? I'm speaking a foreign language. So a lot of it has to be one-on-one coaching and encouraging, basically picking up the phone and talking to people one-on-one, and trying to encourage people to stop stockpiling the wrong food. Stay away from the processed stuff and the sugars. So that's, you know, we've been screaming, food can be your medicine, or medicine will be your food. And now we're working with this vulnerable population, many who are walking around with high blood pressure, and they're pre-diabetic, and they don't even know it. And so when something like COVID-19 hits their compromised systems, that's why we're seeing a disproportionate number nationwide of African Americans dying from this disease. I have to be honest and let you know that we're not seeing locally what we're seeing nationally. So that's a good thing. The social distancing that we have implemented here in Columbia is working as far as keeping it under control, but there are many people that have probably not tested yet. So with people being not displaying the symptoms and can easily transfer the disease and not even realize it to people that are very vulnerable, we must be careful. What we did Friday before the, you know, the, during Passover weekend and the resurrection weekend, the most holy occasion of most faith communities, was to encourage people to continue the social distancing and sheltering in place, but to stay connected. Stay connected. And what we're finding is many of the pastors have divided up their congregations' phone listing.
Okay.
And they're, you know, staying in touch with them one by one. But what I would like to do, what I'm trying to do, is because most of our programs were in person, is we have taken Weight Watchers program, and that used to meet every Tuesday, that program in person every Tuesday at Friendship Baptist Church in North Columbia on Smiley Lane. They're now meeting digitally.
Okay.
So Weight Watchers already had that platform, so
okay.
they're good.
Ms. LeBoyt, let me remind our listeners, you're all listening to The Check-In. We're talking to Ms. Verna LeBoyt, who's a health educator with the City of Columbia and Boone County, mainly working with faith communities, particularly African-American churches, to build health together. And we're talking about the health disparities right now during coronavirus and how she and her constituents and groups and communities are addressing health disparities. Ms. LeBoyt, let's take a call together. We've got Steve Kleekamp is calling. Steve, thanks so much for calling. Did you have a question or a comment about this with Ms. LeBoyt?
Yeah, a comment. You know, I've been hearing the discussions about the COVID virus and the disparities, health disparities for Black and brown people. And I get frustrated because inevitably, it comes back to, oh, this is just a socioeconomic issue. People are poor, so of course they're gonna, you know, and of course, and they're working in the front line, all that. But I think the thing that people need to remember about this, and I think it's because people are afraid, especially, you know, white America doesn't want to talk about racism or systemic racism, so they keep pushing back on that with using those terms. But the fact is, there are a lot more poor white people in this country than Black people. It's not even close. It's, you know, in some communities, it's 10 times more white people. Sometimes it's 3 times more white people. So these numbers just don't add up. That argument doesn't add up.
Okay. Steve, thank you so much for making that comment. I agree with what you're saying. We should be careful about how we characterize these things. A lot of times it's more complicated than we make out, and and shortcuts aren't really helpful when we're talking about these things. But Ms. LeBoyt, do you have a comment about what Steve's saying?
I agree wholeheartedly. Anybody that has these issues with obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, has to really slow down and look at, I mean, we have an opportunity to hit the reset button and to really concentrate on how we're feeding our bodies as best we can. There's a lot of organizations out there giving away free food The food banks are, I mean, they have lines, people getting good food. So you have to really look at your resources and really sit down and think about coaching ourselves. I have to work with blood pressure issues. Hypertension is real in my family, and obesity. So I have to push myself, and I'm married to the most one of the most popular cooks in this city, by the way.
Lucky you.
So Gil doesn't make it easy for me. He's not on my team. He cooks good food. And but I'm having to push it away and go for fresh spinach and make myself a smoothie, get out and walk. The sun is shining today. I've got to get vitamin D. I'll put my mask on if I'm going to be around people. Otherwise, I get out in my neighborhood. There's hardly anybody out there anyway. But I'm trying to encourage my community to do healthy things because we're worth fighting for. You know, this is a time to really fight for ourselves. I'm trying to put together an online cooking class right now. I don't know how much longer we'll be sheltered in, but I don't want the Live Well by Faith community to lose hope.
Okay.
And this is the time to eat the leafy green vegetables. Stay out of the middle of the grocery store, and now we have time to cook. Now we can open up our cookbooks.
Well, Verna LaVoy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's great to hear your perspective. Thank you for all you're doing. Thanks also to Steve for the insightful comment, and keep those comments coming. And Ms. LaVoy, please stay in touch with us. We are continuing these conversations about disparities and how we all can stay healthy, everybody in our community, and looking at this further, particularly next Monday. So please stay in touch with us, Ms. LaVoy, and good luck with all that you're doing.
Thank you.
Sorry, I just cut her off a little bit there, but I think she was going to tell us to have a great day. So we will have Ms. LaVoy back at some point with us in the future. So thanks to Ms. Verna LaVoy, who runs the Live Well by Faith program and is a health educator for the City of Columbia and Boone County. Again, you're listening to The Check-In on KBIA. As we dive into the topic of the day now with Dr. Michael LaFever, a reminder that you can join us. How has this crisis impacted your health routines, your doctor visits, your planned treatments? What are the workarounds you're finding? Have you Zoomed with a healthcare provider? We're going to be talking about this during the next 20 minutes or so during this program with Dr. Michael LaFever. You can join our conversation. What's your question or comment? Are you missing crucial treatments? Are you finding workarounds? And Dr. Michael LaFever, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Good afternoon, Janet. Thanks for having the opportunity to speak with you.
So maybe the first thing we should bring up, Dr. LaFever, you were just hearing us talk with Ms. Verna LaVoy, who runs the Live Well by Faith program here. What are you seeing when it comes to disparities in clinics and on the primary care front?
Well, there's no question that health disparities exist. And I think, as you said at the end there, that it's far more complicated than just a single explanation. I actually spent about 10 years on the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, where we looked at preventive services for all kinds of particular conditions. And I can tell you that the African-American community suffers across the board almost. It was hard to come across a condition in which the risk wasn't higher. Mm-hmm. And, we need to learn more about that. And certainly we're trying to do so and try to make up for those disparities.
Okay, well, we'll keep these conversations going. But right now, Dr. LaFever, it seems like, of course, efforts to manage this coronavirus have taken over so much of the healthcare system, understandably. But as you are more aware than any of us, there are people who need checkups and specialty appointments, vaccinations, all kinds of things. What's happening to the more routine parts of the health system?
Yeah, I think the key part to that is everybody understanding and accepting that the COVID problem sits on top of all of the other health issues that we were already dealing with, and those problems didn't go away. Unfortunately, preparing for COVID in many ways has put strain on health systems from primary care through the intensive care unit. And we have to figure out creative and innovative ways to continue to provide care for the conditions that we are already managing that are now under stress because of what's going on with COVID.
All right. Are you still seeing patients yourself?
Indeed, yes. Our general principle is that the health, safety of our patients, staff, and providers are our highest priority. And the health of our patients certainly requires our ability to provide ongoing medical care. And our two general principles there in operationalizing that out on the front line in primary care, number one, keep clinics safe. And number two, continue to provide care. And we've put things in place to do both of those things. You know, from a keep clinics safe standpoint, honestly, I think we're doing a really good job of that. And the point of keeping clinics safe is there are people who still need to come to the doctor, mm-hmm. and we want them to be safe when they come and do the things necessary to protect their health. Specifically, we're triaging respiratory infections before they ever get to us. Most respiratory infections can be managed at home. We're doing that over the phone and with video visits. We'll come back to video visits here in just a minute.
Okay.
If we think that they are a candidate for testing, they go through our drive-through testing facility, which we're very fortunate to have here in Columbia, and which serves a large chunk of central Missouri, I might add, as well. Mm-hmm. Many places don't have access to that kind of testing. And so we don't have to bring them into clinic to get tested. We can talk to them, ascertain symptoms, and get them tested, and then manage them at home most of the time. And for people who don't need testing, most of them can stay home as well and never really need to come in. We can manage them from a distance, and that helps keep our clinics safe for the people who really need to come in. When they come in, they'll see a different waiting room. They'll see somebody at the front door taking their temperature and asking them questions about whether they've experienced any recent respiratory illness type symptoms. And if they have, they go to a different place. And we manage them to try to keep the environment safe for everybody else. You walk into the waiting room and, quite frankly, don't spend very much time there because the volume is down significantly because of the number of people that we are managing through telemedicine. And again, I'll come back to that in just a minute. But you'll see that the chairs in the waiting room are the 6 feet apart of what I prefer to call physical distancing as opposed to social distancing. And you don't spend very much time there. You're in an exam room one-on-one with your doctor before you know it. And that allows us the opportunity to see patients safely and maximize their health.
All right. So the appointments are going, the clinics are open, but things look a little differently, largely through the protocols that you have been implementing to keep the clinics and clinicians safe and everyone who's visiting them safe, sounds like. Let me just give a little shout out here for a second to say you're listening to The Check-In. We're gathering here each weekday on KBIA. We're talking with Dr. Michael Lefevre, MU physician and interim chair of MU's Department of Family Medicine. And we're talking about how doctors and providers are seeing patients during this time. Have you Zoomed with your doc, nurse, or another provider? How did that go? Do you have health visits that have been disrupted by this crisis? What's your workaround? How are you staying healthy generally right now? Dr. Lefevre, we want to get to telehealth video visits and a little bit more of a breakdown on how these visits are looking. But really quickly, I know that some health issues can be put off, but some still need to be addressed quickly. How are we accommodating, and how's the system accommodating people who need to see the doctor and specialist, but who might be at risk with immunocompromising or special situations that patients might have? How are they staying saved?
Well, importantly, anything that we can manage at home, we manage at home so that they're not subjecting themselves to any of the clinic environment. And that is true across all of the specialties, certainly embraced in primary care, but also the other specialties are trying to manage as much as they possibly can through home video visits, an option, honestly, that wasn't available to us about 5 to 6 weeks ago. And so we've really ramped up that very fast, if you will. And so that's one of the key things. You mentioned what can be put off. you know, things that are truly elective, or, for example, some preventive services that are just that, preventive. I feel fine. I just need a pap smear, for example. Well, you can wait 3 months to have a pap smear, and you're not really putting yourself at risk by doing so. Some elective screenings like colonoscopy for colon cancer, mammography for breast cancer, we're trying to delay for 2 or 3 months to free up space and keep our clinics and our imaging centers, for example, safe by making it a lot thinner, not as much going on. So we're doing all those things to try to protect the people who are, quite honestly, the most frail and the most at risk for suffering complications.
All right. What about, let's go into video visits and telemedicine. It's great that these things are in place for use for during a time like this. Has that been a fairly smooth implementation?
I would say smooth and rapid, very okay. rapid, as a matter of fact. It hasn't been that long, literally about 6 weeks ago, that federal regulations changed in a way that enabled us to take care of patients at home through teletechnology. Prior to that, for example, in a rural area, a patient would have to go into a local doctor's office and go through a particular setup and contact a physician locally here, for example, to have a televisit. And now, well, we can do it at home. We do it with technology that is familiar to many people. Zoom is the technology that we're using here. It works pretty smoothly, and it doesn't take a lot of ramp up on either the patient side or the provider side. In the very first week after we moved to this technology, Family Medicine alone did about 950 televisits that way and have continued to expand that. In our clinics today, more than half of the visits that we're doing on a daily basis are being done by Zoom, by telemedicine, as opposed to in-person.
Okay. So. All right. This is the check-in on KBIA, where we meet each weekday to check in with each other for community connection and conversation. Thanks for being here. How are you maintaining your health right now? Any delayed health checks? Are you Zooming with your healthcare provider? We're talking with Dr. Michael Lefevre. We've got a few minutes. He'll be on. We've got a couple of lines open and a couple of minutes to take your call if you want to let us know. If you're a provider also who's Zooming, how's the workaround going? How's telehealth working for you? Dr. Lefevre, when it comes to the telehealth, we heard Ms. LaBoy talking about internet access, and there are many people, older people, who don't have access or are not comfortable with it. And also many people in rural areas still having trouble getting a good connection. How are we dealing with that when it comes to these telehealth appointments?
Those are very real issues and very real problems that limit the technology that we're using for video specifically. Video does require a pretty good wireless connection, and many people don't have that wireless connection in their homes. And the technology is deployed on smartphones, and about roughly 80% is the figure that I've read of people in the United States have a smartphone, but they can't just have the phone. They have to have a wireless connection in order to do the video part of that. For people who don't have that technological capability, we have to fall back to the phone without the video. I think that that's less optimal. I think there are things to be learned from the video that we don't get on just a phone visit, and otherwise we bring them to clinic. But they fall into the category of people who need to come in. It's better to come in into the clinic environment that we are keeping safe than it is to delay your care. One of the ways that we do that, as I already said, is if you can do a video visit, we do video visits. But if you can't, the fact that we're doing that with so many other people says that you can come in and safely get your care in person.
Okay. Dr. Lefevre, have there been any challenges getting people their medications and prescriptions during the shelter-in-place orders?
Well, of course, some of the pharmacies, including ours, the one that I practice at the South Providence Medical Building, and our pharmacy has gone to only drive-through, and so no up in-person visits inside. And, you know, that's a little bit of a hassle. They've certainly done what they can to make that as smooth as possible. We're starting to see some particular medications which are harder to get. I'm sure that there's a lot of discussion and controversy around hydroxychloroquine, for example, which But I last checked, we weren't even dispensing at our pharmacy because of the big demand related to the hope, only the hope, I might add, that might play a role in the management of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Supply chains, there are other drugs that supply chains have been interrupted by this global pandemic. And one of the things that we're learning is that we really are in a global situation. Mm-hmm. Even if the medicine is manufactured here in the United States, some of the ingredients may be manufactured elsewhere in the world and so forth. And so we're learning that this is one big world, that's for sure, and we're all connected.
All right. That is something that is a lesson from this crisis, for sure. Dr. Lefevre, we have a call. Let's take a call really quickly from Alice in Columbia. Alice, thanks for checking in.
Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to express how grateful I am that I've had the opportunity to do telehealth with my physical therapist. I've developed some leg pains, and I didn't know what that was related to. And so physical therapy, actually, I would like to have an in-person visit, but they aren't doing them, and I understand that. But I think it does lend itself to telehealth because you can do exercises and the physical therapist can sort of evaluate, well, what's your pain level, and may evaluate what part of the body that it may be stemming from. And so I think it's really interesting, and I'm optimistic that perhaps we can spread medicine farther in America by utilizing that telehealth.
Alice, you know, go ahead. We're running out of time, but go ahead.
So that was it. That was it.
Okay,
that
great.
Perhaps this can lead to more healthcare in America.
Excellent point. Thank you so much for calling in, Alice. And Dr. Lefevre, let me just have you pick that up very quickly. We just have a few seconds here. But yeah, physical therapy, occupational therapy, utilizing telehealth is fantastic. Any comments on that or any final comments for us before we have to check out?
I agree completely with her. We're doing things that if we weren't doing it this way would not be done. And that's certainly the worst outcome. As we look forward, I've said you can't put this genie back in the bottle. And we're going to figure out how to use this technology in even better ways as we go forward.
That's great last words. Thank you so much, Dr. Michael Lefevre, for joining us. Would you please come back and join us sometime?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Please take care. That's all for today's check-in. Thanks again to Dr. Michael Lefevre and Ms. Verna LeBoy for being with us this afternoon. Thank you also for checking in. The program's produced by Christopher Husted and me with KPIA News Director Ryan Familiner, Zia Kelly, Madison Conti, Hannah France. Shout out to Aaron Hay for directing us today. KPIA's health reporting is produced by Sebastian Martinez Valdivia and Rebecca Smith. You can check that out at kpia.org. You can also, by the way, let us know where you're at on our voicemail. That number is 877-532-0971. You can also get that at kbia.org. Join us back here, same time, same place tomorrow. We're talking with executive editor from the Columbia, Missourian, Ruby Bailey, about covering this crisis as an editor and journalist and how we get good information throughout this crisis. I'm Janet Saidi. Have a good day. Stay well and stay in touch.